Online Podcast 216.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Online Podcast. I'm recording right now in Penang. But you're probably listening to this when I'm back in the States. But I found a gem here in Penang with somebody who has done a lot more work than I have, and also have collected a bunch of things and written several books. And the guest today is Raymond Kwok. Welcome, Raymond Kwok.
Thank you.
And he's serving tea with jasmine and pandan tea, yeah?
School pine.
What do we call pandan in English? I don't know.
School pine.
School pine?
School pine.
Screw, or like in screwdriver screw.
School pine.
Screw pine. It's very fragrant, so I'm having that. And I'm also, in front of me, I'm looking at four books, but we'll focus first on the latest book that he's just lately published. When did you put out this book?
August?
Just recently?
August last year.
Just August of last year. And the title of the book is Malay Echoes from the Past. And the Penang Hokkien Baba language. And in a quote, the Penang Hokkien Baba language. And as you know, I have another podcast called PenangHokkien.com. So you probably know why I'm interested in this topic. So we'll have Raymond tell us, and I'm sure he's also a Cakapanya like me. Talkative, meaning Cakapanya. So I'm gonna have him tell us a little bit about his book, this current book. What led you to creating this book? Because he's maybe a little history about his previous books too. He has you published a total of what? How many books?
Four books at the moment.
So there are three previous books that look very good also. But I think this now, the latest book, we'll go back to the latest book, is this book catered toward people who are in this culture, or can that be something for people who are just interested in general? Does it explain?
Yeah, for the general reader as well.
Okay.
For the general reader as well.
So really anybody can own this book as long as you are interested in the Penang Hokkien Baba language, and also a lot of collectibles that he's collected himself of that culture. Now, my grandmother, as I told some of you, is from the Peranakan heritage culture, and I don't know much, however. I don't know much, so I'm going to be getting this book myself. Plus, he's also selling this book, so if you are a listener of online, and don't mind the traffic, we're just in a house here next to a busy street. And so if you want to buy the book as well, I will give you more information. You give your email out in public, right? And it's this one, the gaming9@yahoo.com.
Yeah, correct.
And that is his email, gaming9, K-A-H-M-E-N-G, number 9, @yahoo.com. And I will put up all this information on the website as well if you want to buy this book. And I'll be probably telling you more about this book after this recording, because I'll be buying it and reading it myself. So, yeah, tell us about this book, this new book.
In brief, it tells about the close relationship between the Malays and the immigrants, is it? The Chinese immigrants long ago, is it? Mm-hmm. A lot of local culture has been assimilated in this Baba Nyonya culture, is it? Thus, it is a very rich culture comprising both Malay and Chinese. Plus, for those who are English educated, well, the Babas, the early Babas, they picked up, or they were sent to schools in England to further their studies. So thus, Baba Nyonya comprised not only Malay, Chinese, as well as English words. You see? So this book actually explains how the Chinese were able to assimilate, and improve upon the local culture, the various aspects of it, not only in cooking, the Kampung games, the singing, Dondang Sayang, Ronchong, you see, Wayang Peranakan, as well as stage operas like Bangsawan.
Okay. Yeah, because a lot of these stuff, the part of the reason why I'm doing Penang Hokkien is to promote the usage of the Hokkien dialect. What is there a section in there or a big section?
Yes.
In the
expressions as well as the... Not only the expressions, the sayings also. The usage, they are incorporated into our Hokkien sentences.
Give us an example of that.
Kenji, what boing kalu sembang na? What jinja boing? Ing is ikan lai chui lu lai sembang. Sembang is a Malay word, is it? Meaning to pass time
as
a tit a tit, we call it chat, short talk.
And do you have also sections for food, I bet?
Yes, we have the local foods using local ingredients. Really? Well, the Chinese will have some pork dishes as well, but using local ingredients, usually homegrown from their own garden. Things like lengkuas, serai, there's lemongrass. Then we have the daun gado also.
Yeah,
a type of creeper, is it? And then they do adopt the Malay style of dressing also. And then
that's
the
very
jewelry forms.
Yeah.
So you have the baju panjang and then the kebaya worn with the sarung. But of course, they progress a bit further in the sense that they use embroidered shoes as well as kasut manet.
Yeah,
there's a beaded shoes. Beaded shoes.
Beaded shoes. Do you have some of the beaded shoes as well?
I have a good collection.
Yeah, and you'll be seeing some of the photos as well. I guess probably won't be an enhanced podcast, but you'll actually see some of those on the website. So go over to onlinepodcast.com and check out the pictures when I post the shows as well. So there's even like the accessories that goes.
Yes, the jewellery. Usually the jewellery starting from, well, the chuchok sanggol or the hairpins, followed by the anting-anting, that is the earrings. Then you have the krongsang, the brooches. You have two types. One without the chain, that's, the other type is the krongsang rantai. That's the chain brooches, followed by the belt, silver belt usually. And last of all will be the langkaki. There's the anklets.
So yeah, that's really cool. And you'll probably see some of the pictures as well. And I'm looking at the Nyonya Kueh picture right now. Kueh Mui. Nyonya Kueh. Looking at which is... I'm sure you mentioned it in the book also. Do you have an idea of what particular kind of kueh is specifically Nyonya? Or is it mostly Nyonya?
Those kueh adopted by the Chinese or by the Nyonyas would be the very simple type of cakes, like the kueh talam.
Kueh talam, description of kueh talam for the non-Malaysian would be, what is it, kind of like it's a very soft kind of steamed cake, green in color on the bottom layer, with this screw pine, which is this very fragrant grass, very fibrous fragrant grass, and it's some almost like a jelly kind of texture, and then on top is coconut milk,
thick coconut milk.
And also stiffened by kind of like a jelly like texture on top of it. That's called kueh talam. It's one of the probably most popular kueh dishes that we have here. Now, is that a lot of Indians sell those too?
They were made by the Nyonyas.
I see.
Discreetly disposed of by the Indians.
Oh.
Is it?
Interesting.
They don't sell them themselves, buy themselves, no way.
Okay.
So they go through the Indian hawkers.
I see. That's why. That's very interesting. And also got the kao tan kueh. There's this nine-layer kueh.
That is supposed to be symbolic of prosperity or progress in life. the 9-tiered cake.
Uh-huh.
Each having a different color. Each layer having a different color, is it?
I see. So what does it represent then? Each layer represent
progress.
Oh, progress are going up, upward,
and success
upward,
are going
upward.
Upwards.
Okay. Yeah, and that's also angku kueh.
Angku kueh.
Red tortoise.
Meant for auspicious occasions. So you have it's also steamed, but it's typically Chinese.
Ah.
Yeah, typically Chinese. You have bean paste inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's red in color, meaning prosperity also. Mm-hmm. Red.
We like red color, like right now
it's
Chinese
color.
New Year, so you see
red
everywhere.
Red. Well, you have the toe or peach to represent girls, and if you are given two rounded angku, it means the child is a boy.
Okay, this is for the what we call like a full
full month celebration.
And in the full month celebration, the family who just received the baby would then give out dishes to friends and families to mark the 1 month mark of the baby's arrival.
Right.
So that's how you know whether the child was a boy or a girl is by seeing whether or not it's a peach or is it a two round ball. Put your imagination to work. So, what interests you in keeping this heritage alive? There must be something in your life that struck that chord to make you start paying attention a lot
more. Well, 26 years ago, I discovered that I must find my roots. After all, my mother used to wear sarung kebaya.
Uh-huh.
See? So I was very keen. Why is it that she wears a different outfit, especially sarung
kebaya?
All your
Chinese friends.
Yeah, each time she attends a wedding, a Hokkien wedding. You see? It's quite... But I find it very attractive over the years, you know. And then I became more and more interested, you see. But then, money was the main criteria. I didn't have the money. I would have loved to buy up more and more of such Baba Nyonya artifacts. They represent our roots, you see. Our Chinese roots,
yeah.
You see. Which I feel we should be very proud of.
Yeah. Which is what, I do feel very proud of. And unfortunately, I only start to really appreciate it until I'm away from it. You know, I really start thinking about it. It's like, my gosh, this is my heritage and it's very different from all my Chinese friends. And I really want to keep that up and at least record some of the, opinions and ideas from people, professionals who are actually doing this. So, 26 years.
Yes.
Approximately how old were you? If you don't mind.
No, I started collecting.
Is it in your
20s,
30s?
In my mid-30s.
In your mid-30s.
Yes.
So which is about my age right now.
Yeah, in fact, you should start collecting. And you should be more than keen to collect and preserve whatever is left.
Do you have
culture.
Children who are interested in what you're collecting right now?
Well, right now I'm in total control.
Okay.
There's no way. No, I try to rub on some of the influences.
That's good. Because it's going to be very fresh. I'm just looking around the surrounding of the living room here, and you see all these artifacts, and you'll be seeing some pictures of his favorite pieces. Probably I'll have him show me after the show. So, now you were interested, and how did you start?
You can always start from your family circle.
Uh-huh.
You see? You start from your those surviving relatives.
Mm-hmm.
You go around, you make inquiries, you see? And if they're kind enough to loan you a photograph or two, well and good, you see? And you can buy them off their hands. Take them off their hands. So much better.
Pinjam and never return.
Never return. No, when I first started, things were still available. You know, no doubt. The prices were considered rather high for me. So as a poor teacher, you see.
I was a teacher also.
And staying away from home. I was teaching in Kedah, you see. So the expenses incurred also was quite heavy. So leaving very little to behind. But there were more things available then compared to now. You see, more and more people
are they being bought or just simply?
No, I didn't acquire much from my parents or grandparents. You see, okay. Just a silver belt, a cloth probably.
Mm-hmm.
Then
where do you go hunt? Besides family members, where else did you go looking for?
I can always go to antique shops if you have the money and the guts. But sometimes they totally ignore you.
Ah.
You're a small fry, you see. You can't afford such things, you see.
So are they selling most of the antique... Where are the antique shops? I don't even know where the antique shops are. Here in
previously, they were located along Penang Road.
Sometimes you don't even know whether it's real authentic ones or not. Do you?
Well, it takes experience, yeah. And then you learn through your mistakes.
Yeah. Have you bought any fake ones?
Yes, but then you see if the prices are right and reasonable, well, you can always take a chance, a gamble.
That's right.
Take a gamble. Well, there's some of them are not that knowledgeable. If you should read up, I think you have the advantage over them. Many of them, shopkeepers, they are more interested in me.
Sometimes they would probably even sell you cheap stuff that's very precious. What about, tell me about pieces that you collected. What was your first, do you remember what your first piece was?
No, I collected all sorts of things. Things that have aesthetic appeal, you know?
Like those
that I can afford. Glassware, yeah. Mainly glassware.
Glassware, like bowls and... And
vases.
Uh-huh.
But such things, you see, not many people want to keep them or know the true value of such things. You see? And that's one for them, they are breakable.
Yeah.
So many people would be too happy to get rid of them. And of course, the numerous bowls and plates from the kitchen. Uh-huh.
Spoons.
Spoons, I collect a lot of porcelain spoons.
Uh-huh.
I find that they're very artistically drawn, you know. And it requires a lot of skill and patience to draw nicely, you know, on a small surface.
Is it all the porcelains, and the plates and bowls, or are they all done here, or are they done foreign, like in China?
China, mainly China. We know that I have some English plates, bowls and whatnot, and Dutch. Then I have Ming. I have one or two items, Sung also as well.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So Sung Dynasty.
Yeah. Oh. Plus the ships came here, quite a number capsized in the Malacca Straits,
uh-huh.
and South China Sea.
Yeah.
So they were salvaged over the years. Then somebody might have acquired them, and then the descendants wouldn't know the true value, just dispose of them.
I'm just flipping through the books again, and I realize how much I know. because I grew up in an environment, my grandmother wear baju panjang, and she has all her kerongsang, and my great-grandmother, which I have not met, but I saw pictures, and she actually has a sanggol, you know, she wears a what do you call it, like a bun,
hair bun
on the top of her head. So I actually know quite a bit. I have actually, my great-grandmother was wearing like baju like that. So, and you know, there's quite a few things that I know, and that's why I'm so interested in this. Like chongka, I grew up playing chongka.
Oh, I thought it was a girl's game.
Oh, I play everything. In fact, I probably like the girls' game more than anything. I play babua. I am so good at that.
Chigabua lah.
I'm so good at that.
And then the tiao lang tao. That is... you draw lines on the ground.
Oh, jizichong. Like jizichong.
Hopscotch.
Oh, yeah.
Hopscotch, they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you balance on one leg. You pick up
leg,
a stone.
or the...
surprise that you play this.
The soft drinks cap.
Uh-huh.
You put soft drinks cap into that. I play all that. I play all
and
kinds of...
And about galitoy?
Galitoy, yeah. I also know about it, but I don't play all that much. But I play a lot of girl games.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, those are the things that actually kept me... interested in all that.
Another thing is the red seeds, you know. scatter them on the ground. Apa saga? Scatter them on the ground. Then you use your finger to part. Put your fingers through between the two seeds and try to hit the other one with your small finger.
See, very interesting. some of the ones, you know, I'm a little younger. Some of the things, but I'm very surprised that a lot of the stuff that I know is actually quite part of the Nyonya, the Peranakan culture, which I wasn't quite sure whether it's just a regular, because I never really checked with my other families.
No, like playing really with wow, you know. We call ow. In Hokkien it's ow, it is wow.
Yeah.
Really? Then we have the terms like ulok, angkat, and then turun. We picked up this vocabulary, you know.
What about lambong? Lambong, is that the Malay word?
Lambong.
Lambong, you know, is that lambong? When you throw the kite up when you... No, what is it called?
Lambong.
Lambong.
Then ulor. Ulor is actually ulor. It is ulor. Hulor. Stretch.
Oh, hulor.
Stretch.
Yeah,
you got
your
education here, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
so you should know.
Yeah, I know Malay.
Hulor.
I'm gonna recap and tell you the chilap boy means seven
stones,
and you know, one of these days I may actually do a video podcast of how you play that, because many of the young kids these days have no clue what they are. I was actually originally thought of doing a babwa tournament at the Penang Street, but so yeah, it's very interesting.
No, I'm not on cement lah. It's quite tough lah.
Yeah, cannot all your knuckle or scratch off. So let's see. I'm gonna look at how much time we have. Oh, we have a lot of time. So you collected all these pieces. Do you have one most memorable piece that you
No, liked? The memorable pieces were the ones that I didn't buy.
Such as what? What are they? Tell me about it.
No, even this Epen, a glass decorative piece. Uh-huh. It cost over 300 ringgit those days. But that was about 20 years ago. I just simply couldn't afford it. Know that I liked it very, very much, you see. And sometimes you couldn't afford to buy whole sets of items. You see, that's the frustrating part.
Get pieces.
Not even like the bridal chamber items, you know, like the curtains and all that. You see, I couldn't afford. And this guy wanted cash immediately, so there was no way I could manage. You see, but I'm quite happy with my collection.
Yeah. So of your own collections, so tell me, what kind of general categories are they under? Because I see the you know, the porcelain, and I also saw the anklets, the
jewelry,
and the kasut, the manik,
kasut manik,
and those kasut manik are what is it called slippers with
actually slippers,
beads, tiny little beads that put together very ornately into patterns and flowers and all those different motifs. So it's very, I'll take some pictures in the moment. I'm looking at them right now, appreciating it and salivating.
Well, they are at least around 80 years old.
Yeah. Well, they're really good though.
And still in good condition.
Yeah. And so that's in one category. And then there's another one that is, I'm looking up there. Are these siana?
Siana baskets.
Siana.
Dowry baskets.
Dowry baskets. So you, as you would know, dowry is how, when do you use it?
You send the gifts to the bride, you see, and in return they'll give you another one full of different things probably.
I see. So you go with one dowry basket, they'll come back with a different one.
It's just an exchange.
What's usually inside? What do you put inside?
You have depends on the occasion.
Usually
it's candles, wine, maybe a roast pig, roast duck also.
I've seen people use it to carry.
And then, of course, the
like
red
the
packets.
Tea.
Red packets.
Red packets. So I'm seeing several different ones up there as well.
You have Teochew, you have Hokkien.
Oh, different one.
Different ones. Yeah, even I've got a Japanese one as well.
So yeah, it looks really good.
Hokchu also. Hokchu.
Okay, so
but mainly Teochew and Hokkien.
Because of Penang.
Yes, Penang.
Yeah. these are different dialects that we speak, and also people coming from different provinces, different sections of China.
Mm-hmm.
So there is also furniture pieces.
Furniture pieces, you have at least three different categories.
Mm-hmm.
You have the black wood, with or without mother of pearl, then the red and gold, mainly used in the bridal chamber. Furniture pieces, is it? Then you have an odd cupboard or two. You have wedding cupboards, which exist in pairs usually.
Now, do people get that during their weddings, or like after they got
they
married?
They acquire them just before the marriage.
I see. To kind of start your own family.
Where you can put in your clothes. Usually their clothes are married, but one for male and the other for female.
I see. So it's a couple of almost
as a
like
pair,
a dresser,
as a pair.
Right?
Yes.
It's kind of like a dresser.
As a pair. So the one for the lady will have a round face, a round surface, mirror round.
Oh.
For the male, it's more or less rectangular.
It's also with mirror.
With mirror.
Do you have one?
I have one.
Oh, okay. So that is that the male version?
Male.
Oh, I see. It's very version. Interesting. I have to show you the picture in a moment.
Besides that, I have wood carvings. We have porcelain dolls, glassware, embroidery pieces.
Oh, those big siana thing.
Big siana.
Very nice. And what about like embroidered
pieces? Well, I have at least three categories.
Uh-huh.
You have the nyonyas first, then you have the Chinese. The nyonyas were rather small pieces only, but the big ones were commissioned by the nyonyas from China.
Oh.
Then you have the...
Is this considered big?
This is considered nyonya also.
Oh, okay.
But probably not by
that
the
big.
Nyonya.
Oh, okay, okay.
The ones up there. With phoenix and flowers.
And with that one,
it's small panels.
5, 6, 7, 8. And
small
octagon.
Panels. Small panels.
Octagon. You'll see
pictures
there.
Octagon.
Very cool.
And usually you have the flower, a peony flower, and phoenix.
I see. Or birds.
Those
very
with
cool.
Dragons, I think, mostly for those China born.
China born.
Nyonyas would prefer phoenixes, butterflies, birds. Yeah.
Cool. And I see that one is like the cover
correct.
That you put.
Foot covers, but they are from Indonesia, Medan usually.
Oh. Are they
but,
also Peranakan?
Embellished with beads.
Oh, I see. But they're not Peranakan, are they?
Peranakan.
They are Peranakan.
But not Peranakan skin from Medan.
Yeah. I have some listeners from Medan as well. Indonesian listeners.
Your relatives,
Because they speak Hokkien very close to ours.
Yes.
And I also see tiffin carriers.
Yes.
The tiffin carriers. That is probably one of the most collectible items, one of the most collectible items that you see in books.
Yes, because the British introduced tiffin time.
Mm-hmm.
So these are called tiffin carriers. But then some will have an embossed gilded lettering. Selamat makan.
Oh, wow,
selamat
really?
Selamat untung. Selamat buka.
Oh. Like
wish with a wish.
Wish with, yeah, with wishes on there. Like, have a pleasant meal.
Have a pleasant meal. Okay. They are, surprisingly, they are made in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, really? And some of the older pieces are made in Czechoslovakia.
So if you are going for an authentic one, you should look at the bottom and see whether the words are there or not. Made in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, I see.
These are among
so
the very old ones.
So Peranakan people must be quite well-to-do if
yes,
they have
they
to
travel
commission
a lot. Yes, they traveled and had these things commissioned.
So that's why there's a... That's why it's like a tapestry of different arts from different places, you know, crafts from Czechoslovakia, crafts from China, and they
glassware
all...
from Italy.
Yes. Oh, what is
beads,
it from?
Beads from Europe.
Beads from Europe, like as in the manet.
Yes,
manet.
Correct.
Oh wow, glass beads from Europe, from Italy. Oh, I wonder if they
glassware from Italy.
Wow. So it's very interesting. That's why it's such a cool culture and I feel like I have to get in touch with it somehow so that I can tell people about it. Now, of course, I don't do my own research, and I'm not here, and I rely on people like Raymond Kwok to do all the research for me, and I just study and read his book. So now, you can get a close look of all his collection and his description and probably some explanations of things that you hear in great detail in his book. Called the Malay Echoes from the Past, Penang Hokkien Baba Language. And if you can buy this book as well. You do international shipping.
Yeah.
The only thing that it's how much is it? It's
75 ringgit.
75 for international, 75 ringgit.
No, they have to pay the postage.
Okay, so you have to pay for the postage for the delivery, and so you probably you email him and he'll tell you how much it's going to cost you eventually. Now, how do they mail though if it's international?
I think they pay through the bank.
Money order?
Ah, can be money order.
So I'll iron out the detail, and I will give you more information when I post the show. I'll give you a little bit more information about it, because it's very interesting, and I would like to share the knowledge out with the whole world. And so I think it's a great thing that I found this gem here. So I'll find out how to purchase the books, and I'll let you know. And it may, I know, we'll find out, because I have no idea how to do it yet. But he'll find out either through bank draft or something. I'm encouraging him to get like a PayPal account or something, so that he can do all that online. In fact, I may be talking with his son to help father set up a PayPal account where you can actually put credit card and actually get charged to you, and they get the money here on the bank account. So that might be one thing that we can do. But I do also, I think I realized that maybe PayPal don't allow Malaysian accounts or something. I heard there's some...
But we have attended to a few cases, right? You can send our books to Victoria.
Yeah, see, how
my son
is paying?
Like, do that.
Oh, okay, so I'll get the detail from the son, yeah.
He should be back anytime, really.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, I should end the first part. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about? At least
well,
get
hopefully
them.
All those who have Penang Peranakan roots will cling on to their antiques and whatever the grandparents have left them. You see.
Before your
don't just simply dispose them.
If you have a relative as close to going, you know, bye bye, please make sure you check every piece of the furniture and the bowls and stuff before they die, or even after. You want to go check and correct and dig through their cupboards and see if they have any precious things. And ask Raymond Kwok if you don't know whether it's valuable. Or get his book. His book will probably introduce some of the pieces, and you can see some of the pictures of whether or not it's a good thing. Now you know that tiffins from Czechoslovakia made are more original. And how old are they, the tiffins?
Easily like, over 80 years
over
old.
Over 80
any
years
time,
old?
Anytime, over 80 years old.
Now, what are the oldest pieces that people can find? Because, you know, probably too early, the Peranakan are not here yet.
You still have some Ming and Song pieces
okay, so,
lying around,
so
probably
around
the sea.
Do you know about how many years do you think before... how many is back? Can you find Peranakan here in Malaysia? Because I have no idea how many years they've been here. So 80 years would be what? They're in the 1920s, 1930s?
No, they were here from the... I would say once the Malay states were opened up.
Okay.
1870s, you know. More and more of these immigrants came here.
Okay.
Then they acquired wealth. Mm-hmm. Then they started purchasing, especially when they went to... English schools, they're quite English taste, you see?
Yeah.
So
that's why there's a lot of English
for status, no, it's for status.
Statuette and stuff.
To show your status, that you're well educated, you must sort of imitate the rest.
I see.
So
kind of like right now.
These are all acquired tastes.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And so it's probably all the way back 1800s onward.
Probably the peak is 1920s, just before the war, before the Depression, 1939.
Second World War?
Yes, before the Second World War.
That was probably the peak.
You see, even the marriage thing, the traditional marriage went out of fashion.
Uh-huh.
just before the war.
I see. Because they ran out of money.
And also most of the artifacts were lost.
I see.
People would rather save their own lives rather than all these traditional wedding costumes, you see.
So, I also look at, I just found a piece of mortar and pestle in the back.
Jingu.
I see a mortar and pestle in the back, and also a stone for a giling.
It's a big grinding stone.
Grinding stone, a big block for grinding, and then a big thing, almost like a rolling pin. What is it? What stone is that?
Granite.
So you roll
granite
your slab toothpaste and all
and
that.
Pestle, I think.
So it's very interesting. It's like a museum here. And hopefully one of these days this is gonna get appreciated by more people.
There are.
Yeah.
I visited from overseas also. People coming accompanied by local friends and those who know me. Plus I'm throwing this house open usually for
people who appreciate
really, who are really interested.
Yeah, anytime I think next time when I come back, I'll probably come visit you again.
You bring a few friends along.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening, and thank you Raymond for doing this. I think it will get people, because I don't know, I don't have the knowledge about it to tell people, and I know I'm from that culture, but I don't have the knowledge. I think having somebody who is an expert talking about it actually makes more sense. And I would be able to at least remember it now when I can listen to back to the recording. And we'll be taking some pictures, and we'll probably do a short recording also with Raymond Kwok over on my other podcast at Penang Hokkien. And we'll be doing some old Hokkien saying that is slowly being forgotten by the young generation. So thank you very much, Raymond.
You're most welcome.
And you can go buy the books. I'll tell you more details in the future on the website. And thank you for listening. And this is very interesting for me personally, and I hope it is for you as well. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to smile. Bye.